Welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone. I'm the officer of the deck today. We've got some great programs for you. I think you'll find very interesting. We always want to remind you, you can find more about Veterans Radio at its Facebook site or by going to veteransradio.net, where we're on the web 24/7. You can find a lot of our podcasts there as well. We post new ones every Tuesday, so you can get a new story, a new interview, something you didn't know before by going to veteransradio.net. And before we get started, we want to thank our sponsors. First up, we want to thank National Veteran Business Development Council, NVBDC.org. It was established to certify both service-disabled and veteran-owned businesses in the government and commercial or corporate marketplace. You'll find out how they can help your business by going to nvbdc.org. We also want to thank Eisenhower Center. It's a brain injury recovery center, and in particular, it's after the impact program goes beyond awareness campaigns and state-of-the-art imaging to help veterans, first responders, and athletes. Learn more about EisenhowerCenter.com. They're located in Michigan and in Florida. And finally, we want to thank Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans fights for veterans' disability rights all across the nation. You can reach them at 800-693-4800 or on the web at legalhelpforveterans.com. And finally, we want to welcome new sponsor to the program, which is Veterans Business Outreach Center, which is located in Flint, Michigan, and covers Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana. The center is ran and operated by veterans to help other veterans, National Guard, Reserve, spouses, expand and grow businesses. You can find more about them by going to vetbizcentral.org, 810-252-6200. And now on to our programs. We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today, Erica Robertson. Erica's a Navy veteran, which is what we're going to focus on today. But she's a pretty impressive lady, so I want to give you some background here. But before we start, Erica, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's great to be here.
Erica is a Detroit, Michigan native. She did some moving around with her mother and family and spent a little time in Texas as a kid. Did her Navy stint, came back and picked up a bachelor's degree from the University of Michigan, and then went on and got her MBA from the University of Michigan in 2009. She's currently working on her doctoral degree from Vanderbilt in the School of Education. She was in the Navy, I think, from 1994 to 1997, if I've got that right.
That's correct.
She's the founder of something called Education at Scale, a national nonprofit organization focused on policy and research, and recently has started a publishing company called Little Black Girl Adventures and published a book we're going to talk a little bit about. She's, after her time at the University of Michigan, she's worked for some pretty impressive private sector employers before becoming what I would call a K-12 education crusader and change agent. She's worked for folks like Accenture and Nike in Europe, actually, Western Europe, Detroit Children's Fund, and some other nonprofit. So she's had a big portfolio over time of different things, and you can sort of see how life has changed, and she's focusing on education here. But I had the opportunity, Erica, as I mentioned to you, to read your book, The Adventures of a Little Black Girl, Black Detroit Girl Homecoming, which was just published. Tell us what the genesis of that was.
Well, thank you for that generous introduction, Jim. So The Adventures of a Little Black Detroit Girl really is my story. And I did publish it as a fiction young adult novel. I did change a few names, et cetera. But the genesis really you know, was really my journey from when I was just a little Black Detroit girl, growing up on the east side of Detroit, to now being a, you know, grown Detroit woman coming back to the city, and my journey in between, but specifically focused on my life between 10 and 21, which was a very challenging time for me. And I wanted to, being in education now, I wanted to contribute to some of the bigger issues in education that are important to me. And one is, you know, trauma, resiliency, and healing of our young people. And I wanted to, as a way to enter that conversation, I wanted to share my story of trauma, my story of healing, my story of resiliency, as a way to get into the conversation and as a platform for young people to know that it's okay to talk about the hard parts of their life. And it's actually healing to talk about the hard parts of your life and also to reshape your own personal narrative. So you may have a hard start, but you can use those challenges. You can use that resiliency to create whatever type of life you want. And I wanted this book to be an example and an inspiration to young people.
Well, you say it's for young people, which it certainly is, and it's written in a way that you could give it to your kids or your grandkids or your niece or nephew, and it'd be an easy read. It's very candid. It really talks about issues you often don't find talked about, so I think it's a great read. And in reading it, and knowing a little bit of your backstory from some friends of ours, you mention how in those challenging years from 10 to 21, you became a mother at 18, that your the baby's daddy ended up in prison shortly thereafter, and you sort of had to reevaluate your life and think about, how do I move forward from where I'm at? And it took you to joining at 19, the United States Navy. And there's a few references in the book to your Navy experiences, and that's what we want to talk to our veteran radio listeners today about, Erica, is tell us why the Navy, and tell us about those initial experiences of being in the Navy in the mid-1990s.
Yeah, so I have actually a funny story that I didn't capture in my book of how I ended up in the Navy, because I actually was ready to go and all set to go to the Air Force like my mother. But what happened, so if I take you back a little bit, you know, I, you know, was, like you mentioned, I was pregnant in high school and to my high school sweetheart. And after I graduated from high school, kind of working some part-time, you know, jobs, you know, at Kentucky Fried Chicken, at the drugstore, and he was working at the gas station. And, you know, I always had, even from when I was younger, just had big dreams. And because I did run away from home at 14, and because there were so many challenges, I kind of had forgotten about my dreams and what I wanted to do. But, you know, as you read in the story, Jim, I was my passion was reignited when I had met someone that had been very important, you know, that played a very important role in my life. And I had decided at 18 that I wanted to, you know, revisit the dreams that I had. And I had to figure out how to do that in, you know, in light of, you know, me having a young daughter and a boyfriend. So I actually, you know, one day I came home from work and I was talking to Anthony, that was Chloe, my daughter, you know, her name is Zoe in the book, but the father. And I said, hey, we got to get out of here. And I said, I have a plan. I said, I want to join the military like my mom did. Get us out of here. And he was in college at the time. He was in community college. I said, you can finish college and I'll work and you make sure we have food on the table. And then when you finish college, I'll go to school because I'll get the GI Bill. And then, you know, you can make sure that we have food on the table. And so he said, OK, that sounds like a plan. And so we decided to get married. I said, hey, we got to get married to do this. And we decided to get married. And like you mentioned in the book, Jim, 8 days after we got married, I was out visiting friends or family with my daughter. And I got a phone call that Tony had gotten into some trouble. He had taken somebody's life and he had went to jail. And I had already enlisted in the Air Force. I was ready to go. I was 2 weeks out from the Air Force. But I wanted to get out right away. And part of the reason, and I don't even know if I can say this now, Jim, but part of the reason you know, I wanted to move fast because I didn't know if, you know, the Air Force found out that, you know, I had a husband that went to jail, if I was still going to be able to go. And that was my only way out. So I was like, let me get out of here as quick as I can so I can have a chance. And so I remember going to see my recruiter. There was a couple pieces of paperwork or some stuff that he needed, and I was waiting for him. And the Navy recruiter was actually there. And he's like, hey, who are you waiting for? And I told him, you know, and he's like, well, hey, have you heard about the Navy? And I said, can I leave tomorrow? He was like, yes. I'm like, okay, sign me up. And so literally then I just switched from going to the Air Force to going to the Navy because I was able to leave that week.
Oh, that, see, that little part of the story is not in the book. Very interesting.
I know. And so that was the why. That was the why.
Okay. Now I also want to make you talk about something else you referenced that didn't get any development. Because when everybody who's taken the oath ends up in boot camp somewhere. And I don't know anybody who thinks it's a pleasant experience. It's just part of the process, you know. And you talk about a particular petty officer in boot camp that, you know, maybe being helpful is too kind a word, but talk about that experience at that time for you.
Yeah. And you know what? I actually, Jim, would say helpful looking back. Now, going through it, I wouldn't say helpful. But, you know, looking back as a mature adult, it absolutely was helpful. It was actually transformational for me, which is why she's mentioned in the book. But, you know, going in, you know, I was just turning 19. I don't think I was 19 yet. And being, you know, a very independent spirit. I mentioned that I had ran away from home at 14. So I had been out and about on my own, making my own decisions, making my own rules. And, you know, I was already a fireball before I even left home. And so coming into the, you know, military, where now you have to do as you're told, there's a certain way that they talk to you. There's certain behavior and etiquette that's expected. That was very new for me. Now, it wasn't new as far as discipline and structure, because my mother was in the Air Force and my stepfather was in the Air Force. So I was used to that, you know, level of discipline, but not to the level as an adult that what you're required to do in boot camp. And so, long story short, I used to get in trouble for everything from, you know, my petty officer used to say, hey, Erica, you know, you need to go to the back of the marching line. You shouldn't be shaking your butt at the, you know, front of the line to, you know, putting my hands on my hips and talking back to another company commander. And so I did it not because I wanted to act out, but because that was just, you know, who I was. And the Navy and the military in general, they get rid of that. They want you to act, walk, talk like a soldier. And that just wasn't who I was at that point in my life. But she did see something in me, you know, that kept pushing. And I don't just say me, because I think one of the special things about company commanders and folks that teach and lead in the military is they know that the young people that come through, you know, they know for the most part, especially if you're enlisted, you know, you're there because that's your only way out in a lot of cases. And so they're not there to kick you out. They're there to really try to figure out how they can help you become an excellent soldier or excellent seaman. And so, you know, she actually poured into me. There was a few times where I was actually on the cusp of getting kicked out of boot camp for, you know, insubordinate behavior. And she went to bat for me every time. And over the course of, I think it was 12 weeks or 14 weeks, you know, I went from this, you know, kind of silly, you know, insubordinate young girl to a, you know, I would say now, and what she said is an exemplar of what, you know, that type of discipline and transformation can do for you.
And you come to that, you know, change, if you will, reshaping your own narrative, to use your language, over this 3-month period. But you come to that with, if you will, all the baggage that you were getting away from. And in your instance, you know, there had been an abusive family relationship, that both to your older sister and to your younger brother, yourself, to having a baby as an 18-year-old. I mean, you brought to boot camp, if you will, a whole lot of baggage, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And part of, you know, the great thing, and I didn't know this, but it was definitely a blessing, Jim, is, you know, in the military, and you don't know this. I certainly didn't going in. I saw it as a way out. I was like, I'm just going to get out of here. This is a way out. I can pay for college. That was kind of where it was for me. But once you get in, you start learning of all the other supports and benefits there is in being in the military. And one of the things that I learned about quickly when I got there was they had, you could see a therapist, a counselor that was part of the package for free. And, not even a couple of weeks after I got out of boot camp and got to my duty station in Groton, Connecticut, I remember going to see a psychologist. And she asked me, she says, well, Erica, what brings you in here? And Seaman Robertson, what brings you in here? And I said, hey, I don't want to be like my mother when I grow up. So I knew that there was something wrong with me. I knew, and I'm not going to say wrong with me, but I knew I had a lot of baggage. I knew I had a lot of emotions. I knew I had a lot of feelings that I needed to unpack and talk to someone. And being a young mom, I knew that I had to do it for my daughter because I didn't want to have her grow up in a household similar to what I grew up in. I wanted to be a better version of my mother. And so it was through that introduction and that free counseling. I got, I received counseling my entire tour in Connecticut. And then 15 years after I left the military, because it was a very healing opportunity for me.
Well, and you point that out in the book, and you actually give this Navy therapist some kudos for saying, this helped me move forward on the right path. And obviously it must have been advantageous at the time that you were doing the counseling. You could see the benefit of it. You weren't being denigrated for it. Your performance reviews weren't being impacted by it. It must have fit right in with what you were doing at your duty station.
Absolutely. And the thing is, when you're that young and you have in what we call trauma, right? And that's what the book is really about. When you experience a lot of trauma, a few things happen. And one of the biggest things that happens is it diminishes your self-worth. It makes you blame yourself for the things that happen. You don't think highly of yourself. You don't think highly of your contributions. And by, getting therapy and talking through what you're experiencing helps you realize that you're of value. It helps kind of clear away all that noise of, the doubt you have about yourself, and it helps you dream again. It really, and especially when you're younger and you have so much, you have these dreams inside, but you have all this other stuff that's kind of clouded your judgment and piled on top of you. It helps free you. It was a very freeing experience. And then I started really dreaming big about what I wanted to be when I grew up. And, that counselor really helped me. I started going to, community college while I was in the Navy, right? And started dreaming about where I wanted to go after that. So it really was a very beneficial experience. And of course, these things are confidential. So even within your company or your department in the Navy, folks don't have to know that you're seeing someone. It's a very confidential, very safe and very freeing environment.
Well, and I think at times people don't understand how much the military is there to support its members. As you pointed out in boot camp, they're not looking to kick you out. They're trying to mold you, if you will, to reshape you into what is an ideal soldier or seaman. They're trying to give you medical and healthcare services, again, for that same purpose. But I think oftentimes today, whether it's kids thinking about joining the military or their parents and support structure, their family thinking about their kid going into the military, they don't necessarily see all the advantages, do they?
Yeah, they don't. And part of it is just the unknowing, especially if you have two scenarios. One, you're a kid, you're trying to figure out where you're going. You may or may not have the guidance, of a parent who has the knowledge. And so, all you know is, there's a military, there's a chance that you may or may not go to war. And, you just don't have that information. And I think it's better now. And again, I've been out of the scene for such a long time, but, just like, you know, when you go to college and, you know, you have recruiters come on college and they talk about, you know, going to, you know, various either graduate schools or various companies, they recruit you, they woo you, they show you all the ins and outs, and they give you all the details. I think what's missing from that sales gimmick from the military perspective is going in depth about all the extra stuff, right? So they tell you, you'll get a, you know, you'll get experience, you'll travel the world, you can go to A school, you can, you know, but they don't tell you all the other stuff that's really helpful. And I think the way in which it's packaged, there is an opportunity to package it a little bit more to provide more transparency. And I know one of the things that really helped me, Jim, when I did get out, and we didn't talk about this at all in the military, was the VA loan. I actually used the VA loan to buy my first house. And it was amazing. But going in, all I knew, it was a way out. So I just think there's an opportunity to maybe do more, you know, as far as marketing and communicating and sharing all the benefits of the military.
Well, I want to talk about your particular job or MOS in the military, because I don't know that I've ever talked to somebody who was a journalist and in the military as an enlisted person and who had her own biweekly column called Ask Erica. So for this fireball 19-year-old kid out of Detroit, getting into public affairs and getting into writing like this probably turned out to be kind of a dream job.
It was a dream job. It was cool, and I have to say I was the envy of most. And even in boot camp, and again, you know, I have to give some grace to God because I do believe that He's been the author of my story as well. But even in boot camp, you know, you get to, you know, you in the Navy, and I'm not sure how it is in other branches, but at the end of a certain amount of training, you have to work. And most folks go to the galley or they go to Master at Arms, which is like the brig. But I was chosen to go to the public affairs office in boot camp. I think it's 2 or 3 weeks. And I really liked it. And so just getting that exposure in boot camp, when I did get to my my duty station in Connecticut, you know, you can think about what you want to do. And the thing about the Navy is if you could choose to go to like an A school, but if you go to an A school, which is you actually learn a trade, you go through the classes, you go through the curriculum, they add on. So 3 years is the minimum you have to serve. But then if you go to an A school, depending on what type of job it is, you need to stay an extra one, two, 3 years. And so I learned that, you know, the journalism, you could go to an A school. But then you had to stay in longer. And I really just came in to, you know, get some college money and get out of Detroit. And so I didn't want to stay longer. But I learned that you could also strike a rate. And what that really means is you can work as an apprentice under someone, do the studying. So do the self-study with the curriculum, take the assessments necessary to pass, kind of like if you're taking, you know, like a GMAT or GRE. Or even the bar or, you know, your medical, and you can then get into this rate. So I can't remember the length of time, but I did apprentice under my chief petty officer over public affairs, you know, for a period of time. I want to say it was 10 or 12 months, could have been longer. And I studied both journalism and photography. So after, you know, that period of apprenticeship and me passing the test, I officially became a journalist and photographer, and I did work for the Navy paper, The Dolphin. And I learned how to write, very concise, information. And more importantly, as a photographer, you know, I had a chance to kind of go out and interact with just a bunch of different people. I love interacting with people. And I actually had a car. I didn't know at the time, but I actually had a company car. So I was one of the few enlisted men that had a car that I could drive around and go to the different venues to write my story and take pictures. So it was an absolutely amazing experience for me.
Well, let me bring this full circle before we run out of time, because I want to think about this 19 or 20-year-old fireball from Detroit who becomes this journalist writing stories. And today I'm talking to that same Erica Robertson, who not only has published her own book, she's now owner of a publishing company. Again, talk about dreaming big, from I'm going to write some articles for the Dolphin to I'm going to own a publishing company. I'm pretty impressed on the full circle.
Yeah, you know, when you said it like that, Jim, I just got goosebumps. because you're right. My life has, come full circle. And, I do believe in God. And in the Bible, it says nothing wasted. And I believe all these experiences, whether they're challenging or whether they're exciting, whether they're fun or whether they're, they're sad, they all work together, to create whatever future you want to create if you allow it. And I just believe that all the different experiences that I've had, and they did start with the military. I believe I was given, preferential treatment getting into University of Michigan, because I was a veteran. I believe that, in certain jobs that I went to, I was given preferential treatment because people really saw that as a value add. And so I just think, starting off with that, the discipline and then also the pedigree that you carry with you for the rest of your life as a veteran really, really does, has been really helpful to me. And using all the different resources that the Navy provided me, from, the GI Bill to, my VA loans, really has, helped me build a life that that's lacking nothing.
It's the envy of many, believe me. Before we want to run out of time, I do want to have you tell folks, if they're, as life has come full circle, not only in this publishing world, but you've gone back to education. You're a K through 12 education crusader and change agent, as I mentioned, and you took advantage of education throughout your military career, whether it's studying at a community college while you're in the Navy or studying to, under the chief petty officer to become a journalist. Tell folks now how they can find the book, find out what you're doing in the educational field, and keep track of Erica Robertson.
Yes. So the book it released in July. So it is available on my website. And my website is www.littleblackdetroitgirl.com. And what I will add to that is, I'll give it again, www.littleblackdetroitgirl.com, is, this book is just the first of what I'm trying to build. And to your point earlier, Jim, is I really do want to build a publishing empire that can really empower little young, boys and girls. And I have boys and girls of color, but it's all little boys and girls to be bold enough and brave enough and, to share their story, to own their story, and to reshape their story any way they want to. So the book is just one of several things that I have in the pipeline for young people. We also have curriculum that we have created for schools, for middle school, high school, and college, as well as virtual book clubs to have a platform for young people to learn more about resiliency and how to build it in their lives. So lots going on. So if you go on the website, you can sign up to learn more about everything we have going on. And you could pick up a copy of the book.
Erica, we appreciate the time that you've taken with Veterans Radio today, and certainly your service in the Navy. And as you know, we talked earlier, what we're trying to do on Veterans Radio is tell real stories that maybe can get passed along to kids, grandkids, nieces, and nephews to say, hey, maybe here's something you didn't know about and an opportunity that might exist. And I think your experiences in the Navy and what you've been able to accomplish from that foundation are really inspiring.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you having me. I think this show is wonderful to highlight stories of veterans, to inspire others. And I will say that, the Navy for me was a game changer. It was a game changer. And I hope that, more of our young people consider it as an option for their future as well.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Veterans Radio needs you. If you like our shows that are informative, surprising stories, and relevant information on what's happening at the VA and the military, we'd like your support. Individual support of $5 to $50 a month or corporate sponsorship of $1,000 to $10,000 would be welcomed. You can go to veteransradio.net, click on the sponsorship or support tab, pay online, and keep Veterans Radio on the air.